Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Welcome to the end of year.
Thanks. It's nice to be in the future.
You've made it. Well done.
I know. Survived another one. Like a whole other year. Wowzers.
Do you know what? This episode's... We thought we'd get together for the end of year episode of what we've found remarkable this year. And actually, one of the things that I'm going to bring up later is... my favourite TV programme of the year, and actually I'll recite it nearer the time, but how many of these end of years do you think you've got left? Not in podcasting terms, but just in life terms.
Well, isn't there a famous thing, I think Michael Owen mentioned it, that you've got 10,000 days or 100,000 or a certain number of days, and you can, and he went through, I'm pretty sure this is a Michael Owen thing from a previous iteration of the podcast, he went through and he figured out, holy crap, I've only got 1,300 days left.
It's kind of, do you know what, I think that whole hitting 40 last year for me has made me look at things in a different light.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be happy if I got another 25 Christmases.
Doesn't sound much, does it?
No, it doesn't.
When you say that on Christmas Day at about 6 p.m, go, another 25 of these, you'll be like, oh my God, 25. Can't do this 25 more times. But, yeah, that's not many, is it? If we count, if I might age in Christmases now. How many Christmases you got? I'm only 8. Christmases.
What a lovely way to kick off the podcast.
Well, anyway, Happy New Year!
How remarkable is that?
Hey, it's Tim. It's no Steve here. So I'm just popping on to let you know this show is brought to you by Bant.io, the all-in-one B2B lead generation toolkit, designed to automate your customer acquisition. Please take the time after listening to this amazing episode to check out all the links and information in our show notes.
We thought we'd get together and we'd run this end of year podcast, and we're probably gonna make this an annual thing now, like a traditional thing. Looking at what our most remarkable different things have been throughout the year. And for this year, we're looking at the categories of our most remarkable podcast, film, documentary, book, conference or event that we've attended, TV series that we've seen, our most remarkable brand, personal people, and then our most, harping back to the RE of marketing days, our most remarkable campaign that we've seen this year.
Yeah.
So... should we kick off?
Kick off.
Let's kick off. Yeah. So, Tim, what has been your most remarkable podcast of this year?
Do you know what? I've culled...
You can't choose our own.
No.
You can't. No.
I mean, oh, well, that's me out. But if I had to pick another one...
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Azeem Azar's Exponential View podcast. So
I've not even heard of that.
Azeem is a British journalist about tech and stuff, but it's like an HBR, so Harvard Business Review show. But it's a great podcast, right? He deals in a lot of kind of research, and his newsletter that goes with it is epic, like really good kind of data and facts and science stuff. But he's got, I'll read a few of the titles: Why Energy Storage is the Future of the Grid, Technology and the Redistribution of Power, Grading AI, the Hits and Misses. But it's where I'm not super techie as a human, and I've culled a lot of podcasts I used to listen to, like business guru-y ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And this one and the A16Z podcast is where I learn all the tech stuff. Because they're just really good, and they get real industry experts and real factual kind of objective truth. Like, it's a real good podcast.
I recommend it. I've not heard that one at all. But it's under the Harvest Business Review banner,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, Azeem Azar, his name is. So A-Z-E-E-M, you'll find him. I don't think there's many podcasters called Azeem that I've come across. No.
Pretty cool name as well, especially yeah. for the tech world. Mm. That's pretty damn cool.
It is pretty cool. Yeah. Could be a product, couldn't it?
Are you on a product? Oh no, that's a Zoom. You can't. There you
lols.
Go. Big lols.
Excellent. What about you? What's yours?
Right, so I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts because we've got the dog who needs walking every day. Even though I haven't done it today, because if you've seen Storm Bertie or whatever it is outside.
Bertie will be very pleased with that picture.
Well,
no, Bertie accordingly.
Well, actually, my podcaster choice is Bertie's podcast.
Oh, my God, the one with Chappers in it?
Yeah, I know, right? Both been on this... We've both interviewed Chappers and Bertie, but they've got a business podcast called Throb, which is a great name, even though I did have to message Chappers saying that they missed the H, because they call it The Reality of Business, and it should have just been called The Harsh Reality of Business. Please come to me for any naming in future. It's absolutely fine. I'm here to help you out.
I concur.
Do you know what? I went out for a bike ride about four... No, but it was about 5-6 weeks ago, and I listened to 3 episodes on the bounce, and they were really easy to listen to, really good. Like the whole episode about Salt Bay and the reason why it's an experience and stuff, it was really insightful, actually, especially from Bertie's perspective. Nothing against Paul, but just that whole, it's all about experience over everything else. A really good podcast to go away and listen to. But the other one that I listen to regularly, which is completely out of everything that we do, just to be able to switch off, is, I don't know if you've heard of the Wolf and Owl podcast, which is Ramesh Ranganathan and Tom Davis.
Wow.
The two comedians. All it is them talking about what's happened that week and how their midlife crisis men come into this precipice of, I can't do enough for my friends, family and stuff. It's just them moaning for an hour, and it's one of the best things to listen to because it makes you realise how everybody in the world's human.
I
can't wait for that episode to drop every week.
Excellent. I do have big empathy with Ramesh. I feel like increasing amounts of empathy with him about the world, unfortunately. But, you know, good. Well, they sound great. I've not listened to Bertie's and Chappers' podcast because I know them in the real world, and that's more than enough for me.
Yeah. Do you know what? It is worth... They come out with some absolute pearlers in there, to be honest. They really do. I'm an avid subscriber of Throb.
Wow. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on from that point.
Let's move on, yeah. Yeah, so what about your film or documentary, Tim?
So there's one I've been telling people about quite a lot, and that's the Kipchoge film documentary. I think it's both.
Yeah.
On Sky, I saw it, I believe. I think it's available on other channels.
Yeah, I think it is a Sky documentary, isn't it? I think.
But it's about, you don't have to be into running, but Eliud Kipchoge is the world's best marathon runner by a number of minutes, which is quite a lot in marathon terms. And it was, they did an experiment with INEOS, which are an amazing performance organisation. I'm going to explain them out. And Sir David...
Yeah, not a fracking company,
not a fracking company. But Sir David Brailsford, who is also not a fracker, I believe.
No, he's not.
And a team of elite sports performance people from across the globe to see if a human being could run under 2 hours for a marathon, which is 26.2 miles. And it was just the story of that, which he did. No, spoilers for you, but he did make it. But it's not about the running. He's an epic runner anyway, so the fact that he ran 3 minutes faster than he'd ran before is good, you know, but it's not that good. But the preparation, the detail that went into it, the mindset of the guy to train for it, like, just blew me away. I've watched it like 3 times. I would watch that I would recommend watching that, whether you like running or not, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it's about the man and his mentality more than anything else, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the reason I really liked that documentary was the Dave Brailsford bit alongside it, because I'm a keen cyclist, but he took everything that he knows about sports performance that he's built over a multitude of time with Team Sky into Team Ineos, and he's now come away from just doing it in cycling. He's now looking into all different disciplines in sports. So he's doing marathon running with Kipchoge, but he's got the sailing team now as well of Ineos that he's looking after. And he's become this director of sports performance rather than just cycling, and that for me is just phenomenal from a business perspective. How you can take it from one discipline and then lift it to multiple disciplines afterwards.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think the performance and the preparation are lessons for life, not just running.
Yeah.
You can apply it to many different things. But I reckon that was, I don't know even if it came out this year, but I saw it this year and it stuck.
Yeah, I saw it this year after you notified me. I saw it on my Sky plan and went, I must put that and watch it. But when you mentioned how good it was, yeah, and it was brilliant, really good.
Good. What was yours? Did you have a separate one or?
So mine actually came out in 2020, but it was late end of 2020, and I think I watched it beginning of this year, which was The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever got round to watching it.
I did.
If you haven't seen it, or if you did see it, it's well worth going back and watching again, because nothing's moved in a year in how we are completely addicted to social media, and how they make the app developers make you want to go on social media through the use of colours and through the use of technology and through the gamification, but also how it is becoming a pandemic in itself, and actually we're the only ones who can stop it, because there's a whole rhetoric inside there which is our governments are doing nothing to stop this addiction. And do you know what, there's a lot of life lessons inside there at the same time, and going back and re-watching it again, thinking about this episode coming up, made me realize how nothing has moved at all, and actually it's only getting worse. Really, really worthwhile watch.
Yeah, I concur. It's a bit of a game changer. I think all of my family have actually watched it now. Like my daughter, 14-year-old daughter, my wife, like have all watched it, and it does, you know, it does make you pop your phone down, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so there's, I heard actually on that Wolf and Owl podcast, they gave me a tip, which was how to. If you've got an iPhone, you can make it go black and white within three clicks. So I press the power button on, I'm showing Tim now on Zoom, I press my power button three times, it goes black and white. And actually, it won't work on your phone, you've got to set it up through your accessibility. But doing that makes me pick up my phone less, because the colours are all set up so you go on there. And it really works.
Interesting. Handy tip number one of the Remarkable Show.
There you go. Yeah. Accessibility settings inside your iPhone makes it go from colour to black and white. It makes you stop picking up as much.
We'll have to change our category to lifestyle now or something.
Yeah. Well, do you know what, though? The one thing that would really blow me away when, you know, 20 years ago, you would never have had, like, what was the best documentary you've seen this year? Our life's surrounded by them now, and Netflix have kicked out so many good ones.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, I haven't got round to watching it yet, but Seaspiracy,
yeah,
right, which I'm sure would be on top of a lot of everybody's lists.
It was close on mine if Kipchoge wasn't so good.
Yeah, well, yeah. My wife stopped eating fish after watching Seaspiracy and hasn't touched it since.
Exactly the same. Yeah, and my wife, yeah. Like, totally stopped, dead.
Yeah.
Not even tuna, nothing, like, nothing.
Crazy. Like, the power that those corporations and those video services and on-demand streaming services have now got into how they can affect culture is unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think they've also got a lot of climate-related stuff, like chasing ice, chasing coral. Like,
yeah.
Real good education.
Well, people. Chasing Ice and Chasing Coral is the same director who did Social Dilemma. They're his three.
There you
They're
go.
His
then.
Three.
They're very good. Yeah. Well done, guy, good. Fella.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
No.
We'll have to Google it. We'll put it in the show notes.
Put it in the show notes, yeah.
Yeah. Right, so the next one's book. So I revisited a book this year that I read a couple of years ago, and it's still the best story I've read alongside business narrative, which is Shoe Dog by Phil Knight.
Love Shoe Dog.
It's such a good book.
Yeah.
Such a good book. And every time you read it, I don't read books more than once usually.
Mm-hmm.
But I went back and revisited it, and just that story and where he's got to and the trials that he went through is just brilliant. Just a brilliant book to read.
Yeah, I remember Paul Chapman mentioned a few minutes ago, was haranguing me for months to read this book. I was like, I don't really like Nike. I'm not bothered about, I don't want to read it. It was like, just, and I think he bought it me in the end. If I'm honest, or gifted it me or borrowed it me. I still have it, Chappers, if it is yours. Sorry. But I remember reading it and not putting it down. Like, I got through it in 4 days, and I'm not a lengthy reader. My mind wanders pretty soon. So I have to do it in chunks. And I remember it. Like, now I recommend it to people.
It's going to be turned into a film one day, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Like, for those of you that haven't read it or don't know, you know, Phil Knight started off by importing ASIC trainers into the US for the running team
at his local college, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then he went back to them and started to develop their product for them. And then he got stiffed by them and went, okay, we'll go and start up our own company and do it ourselves. I mean, what a story.
Yeah, it's so good. I would recommend, again, if you're not super bothered by Nike or products or consumerism or running or sports, read it anyway, because it is worth it.
And I know Reebok's released their book this year, I believe. Unfortunately, I can't do up-to-the-date reviews on books because I don't like hardbacks. I still don't understand why we release hardback for a year before paperback. Absolutely crazy. Please stop that as an industry. Because I always get the book a year later when it comes out on paperback. But Reebok have released theirs about their story from starting from a little manufacturing place in Lancaster and then getting acquired by Adidas.
And now booted out by Adidas, right?
And now booted out by Adidas, yeah. What a story that's going to be.
Yeah, interesting book for next year's paperback version.
Exactly right. Exactly.
Beautiful.
Right.
Well, mine...
What about you?
Mine is an old book also, or not particularly recent, but one that has been on my reading list and never, like, it just keeps getting usurped by other ones. And I went, do you know what? I'm going to read it, because I've done a lot of a focus on responsible business, sustainability, climate stuff this year. Has taken a lot of concentration. So I'm going to shout out Donut Economics by Kate Raworth. You may have seen the TED talk, really good, but she's an economist, and she's designed a sustainable economic model on a one-page framework that I know me and you are particularly fond of, Steve, getting things on a pager in a visual way.
Yes, definitely.
But where it shows that the ideal economy and the regenerative and circular parts of the economy, how it works for optimal human living and happiness and joy. And it's such a good, I don't know why I didn't read it so long ago. Now I've read it.
But, we've all got that one book.
But like, it's such a good idea. And I know I've delved into it a little bit afterwards, and I know there's quite a few cities now that run on that. I think there's one in Scotland, a couple of Dutch cities, a couple in Scandinavia that run on this system of creating an economy that's happy, healthy and sustainable for people. It's really good, but it's not as dull and as dry as possible. It's surrounded by narrative, which is good, and explanation and history of economics of how stuff works, which I'm super interested in anyway, and a bit of a whistle-stop tour of economic models that we use now and their failings and the reasons why they fail that we see on the news and Twitter and stuff, but the reasons why they don't work. And it's such a good book. But I'd start with the TED Talk and see if she piques your interest, because she's a fantastic speaker as well.
Is it more of a... Is it a narrative towards that economic model, or is it more of a workbook on how you can, you know, put that economic model inside your business?
Both. Like, it's not dead complicated to understand, if I'm honest. Like, which is the beauty of a good framework. Like, there's not many complicated questions that you will ask of it. You just see it and go, huh. Okay, that would be better. Yeah. it's not super complicated, which I think is really good, but it's an excellent book and well thought through. And she's at London School of Economics, like head of economics. So she's super respected and knowledgeable, right? So it's well thought through and obvious, and it's obviously... It's a few years old now, and it's just such a good model. A bit like Business Model Canvas. It's a bit it feels a bit timeless. It's like that. Should just do that. Like, she's written it down. She's drawn it on one page. Why can't we just do that stuff?
It is crazy. You know, Business Model Canvas, we still refer to it every week. Every week. And that's been around from Strategizer now for... That must be over 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a great model.
It's a great model. Nothing wrong with it.
No, nothing at all.
Good. Excellent. Good books.
Good books. Good books. Right, next one. Your favourite or most remarkable event of the year or conference that you might have been to? That could be... In person, it could be online, it could be just one that you watched. It doesn't have to be anything specific.
I mean, I like a community thing, and I'm fortunate to be part of a few. And I think there's worthy mentions for a slight plug for future guests, the Purpose Collective, who are coming on a show early 2022, who will be in your ears and talk about what they've built, because that is pretty remarkable. But they have their own show, so I won't feature them now, because
nice trail,
be spoilers
though.
Thank you. So I'm gonna plonk with another old friend of ours and Paul Ince and Marketed Live, which is the first real conference since the C word raised its head that I've been to. And he developed a wonderful community, and he's a good little host. He's very good at hosting, he's very good at pulling people together, and the theme and the speakers are good through that. But to pull that off and have it not lose any of the community and connectivity, not connectivity as in internet, but connectedness of people, like, despite all the stuff that's happened, right, and the unknowns and the uncertainty, I think it deserves a bit of a shout out for me, if I'm honest.
That was the one that was on my list.
Good.
To be fair, there were two or three real standouts, but that one that was personable, that's the first in-person event I've been to since COVID. And actually, it's the only one I've been to, I think.
Yeah,
I can't recollect one of that size anyway. And how comfortable it was astounding.
Yeah.
Really astounding, because I'm not saying I was nervous before I went, but I didn't know what to expect, because I didn't think it'd be like it was previous years when I've been to Marketed Live. But actually, it was just the same as it was.
Yeah.
And that, I've got nothing but respect to Paul and the team for getting it to that.
Exactly.
And the speakers were all brilliant as well. Yeah. And the theme that ran through with, and I know Paul doesn't ask his speakers to make sure that certain topics are covered, but they all had the same you know, hidden thing in there, which was challenge and challenge assumption and stuff. And it was great to see that, that every person who's involved in that world were all on the same page. It was just great.
That happens at all of the marketers.
It does, all of them.
They all have an underlying moral of the story.
But nobody's really, you know, they're all working at different companies, or they're all different from different places. Yeah. Even from abroad, never met guest speakers, but they've got people who recorded who they've never been and delivered here, and they've all got the same underlying tone. It's crazy.
Yeah.
On top of that, I would say an event that I didn't go to, but actually to see the Olympics and Paralympics back this year was pretty special.
Yeah, good shout.
Every 4 years, you go, why do I care about somebody running 400 metres? Or why do I care about somebody doing a long jump? But do you know what? I get hook, line and sinker every 4 years, and I cannot wait for it to be back in 3 years' time again.
It's that performance thing that gets me. I would watch athletics all the time. To see people on the edge of what they're capable of, like, just makes me go.
Seeing people like Sky Brown get on a skateboard at the age of 14 and absolutely go out and annihilate. Oh, I'm just getting goosebumps thinking about it now. And to see my six-year-old going, Daddy, I love skateboarding. Can I get a skateboard? It's like, yes, you can. You can be the next guy. They're great role models to have.
Brilliant.
Great role models.
Good shout.
Good. Next one. Your favourite, let's go, TV series. Have you got a favourite TV series from the year, Tim?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a tricky one. I'm going to go for actually, I'm very torn between two. So I'll tell you the two I'm torn between, and the opposite ends of the scale. So the recent series of Billions, just because the writing of it and the acting of it is ridiculous. Like, just, I would read that if it was a book. Like, if it was just subtitles and they just sat in a room, I'd still be gripped by Billions. I just think it's beautifully written, and it's one of the Sorkins, I believe. But it's just written well. And Paul Giamatti and Damian Lewis is, they're just so good. Like, what a pair of characters that is. And I've watched all of those series, and I think they're just brilliant. But I think I'm going to edge it out with the theme, just because it was so good, with Sky News, especially during the year that we've had with COP26, right, in the thingy. They had a 24-hour continual climate channel, right, focusing on all the discussions of COP26, what went on, and they carried it on. They have a daily climate show which looks at every aspect of climate, not just doom and gloom news. Because I've stopped watching news, right, because Jesus Christ, it I just can't watch it anymore. It makes me depressed about being a human. But I watched this, right, which is, you know, the climate challenge is not a cheery story.
Everybody.
But I watched that, and it was just so well kind of hosted and facilitated and connected together. I watched it every day for the 2 weeks of COP26, for quite a lot of the day sometimes. And I think they just need kudos for covering it, because there were some, you know, there were some bits that needed to be heard that weren't probably the popular ones, weren't there? You know, the celebrity Greta Thunberg-y David Attenborough bits were the bits that will make a difference in our little world. And I think, despite the brilliance of Billions, I'm going to go with that.
Despite the brilliance of Billions.
Yeah.
Do you know, I this is one of the hardest things for me to talk about, because I love good TV series. I get hook, line and sinker for them. So Succession is immense, absolutely immense.
Not watched that yet. It's on the list.
Oh my God. It might overtake Billions for you, Tim. That's all I'm going to say. Dexter returned this year with new blood, which is phenomenal. It is, they've gone back to like the first, second series of Dexter, and it's so nice to go, you know, from that, you know, if we talk in business language, to go, it's okay to revisit what you originally were there to do. It's so good to get just me addicted.
Just keep doing the stuff that's good, yeah, that works. Like, don't change it if it works.
Exactly. So that was brilliant. But the one that harps back to our conversation at the beginning about how many Christmases we've got left is I became totally addicted to Mortimer and Whitehouse Gone Fishing. Right, on BBC, which is Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse just going fishing. But the reason that they went fishing is Bob Mortimer had open heart surgery because he died for 16 minutes. And they repaired his heart and put stents in and they sewed him back up again. And Paul Whitehouse actually has stents from his heart condition. And what they're doing is just going out and living out the most fun days through fishing and getting to know each other again, because they know that life is not infinite.
Interesting.
And it's all about them understanding the relationships that they've had previous and relationships they want going forward with other people, but also reflecting back on their lives. But it's all wrapped around with Bob Mortimer comedy, which is just one of the best things in the world. So you go, and I swear to God, it's probably the only programme in the last, I would say, 5-10 years that has made me laugh and cry in one episode. To hear him talk about how his dad died, where you think, oh my God, this is really upsetting, to how he ends it on a punchline, just makes me go, and this is why telly should be made. But it also made me sit back and go, actually, you know, they're counting down, oh, we've got 15 Christmases left. You know, Bob Mortimer's 61, so he thinks he's going to get to 76. But it made me sit back and go, yeah, what can I do with this second half of my life? What can I do better? What do I want to leave behind as a legacy? And it has made me move my mindset yet again into just going, let's just be better people who want to enjoy the world and enjoy each other's company.
Yeah. Well, I've not watched that, but now I definitely will, because that's a good message. And it's difficult for people who you expect you to make them laugh. Like Jimmy Carr and Russell Brand have started doing some and super intelligent. And
so that Jimmy Carr one that went, did the rounds not long ago, was his thought process of what he was trying to articulate was just brilliant.
I mean, he's saying they're incredible minds anyway, I think, comedians. Like an incredible level of creativity and sharpness and astuteness and awareness and self-awareness and all the qualities that, you know, entrepreneurship gurus will tell you need, you know.
Yeah,
and
they are.
Like,
real.
Even humility and stuff, right? They're all pretty humble, they're all kind of self-deprecating.
Yeah, but they know when they're sitting in front of that audience, they've got to try and achieve some form of empathy with a lot of people by being funny. That's a hard task. A really hard task.
Yeah, good shout.
Good shout. So well worth watching. Right, so we're moving to the last three. So the top three, which sort of start harping back a little bit to our previous podcast in the area of marketing. But Tim, who is your most... No, let's do that one last. What is your most remarkable brand of this year?
It's a good question, because my consumerism has gone down considerably over the last 2 years, if I'm honest. But I like... It's different. I think there's some amazing up-and-coming brands like Rayburn, who are a sustainable clothing thing in London. They've got a store in London. And I think things like Gymshark have done amazingly, although I have no experience of a Gymshark. I don't own any Gymshark. I've not been to... Like, it's not a thing. But...
He's done a great job, though, Ben Francis.
What a story that is. And you know, I think there's so many positive brands, right? People doing good stuff. And being a great example to people. But I still am focused and still talk about, even in the workshop session I did yesterday for a bunch of business leaders, we're speaking about Hyatt Denim, if I'm honest. I follow them, I buy their books, their email newsletter, their podcast about doing one thing well. They've started a podcast, actually, Hyatt Denim, with David Hyatt and his daughters, examining and exploring other companies who do one thing well. And they, like a company called Pangaea, have come out, or a science company, and make coats out of flower down, for example.
Really?
Like, really sustainable. They're an amazing brand, but I have no experience of them. But I have ordered my first pair of Hyatts, which is sometime.
Your podcast is going well.
Some time in coming, but I figure I consume less now, so the buying good, good stuff that will last you is a big thing of mine. But I can't see past them. They're still doing amazing stuff that just happened to, outside of jeans, which I think brand is important. Outside of the stuff they sell, they show up in the world how they want to show up in the world, and I think that's commendable.
Awesome.
Yeah. What about you?
It's funny because, well, just before you, so Michael Owen, when he was on this, when he came on the podcast, and he talked about, you know, how fast fashion has had its time, and actually now it's about buying that one thing that's going to last, and it's going to last well. And that's what he was doing with his Always Wear Red, wasn't it? And his, in the jumper and wool company.
Exactly the same, yeah.
Yeah.
The best jumpers in the world, and Hyatt make the best jeans in the world, right?
Yeah. That's impressive. Yeah, that's good. I really struggled with this category, brand. I kept going back to one, which is, this year we started to use HelloFresh for food delivery. We've always been an Aldi couple, an Aldi family. But do you know what? HelloFresh have got something right. And I know some things have to change in regards to shipping and CO2 to the copper gender and things like that. But actually, food waste is a huge thing.
Massive.
And those things turning up in, in the sizes that you need, in the quantities that you need them to cook for four people for three or four meals a week, not only has it made mealtime easier, simpler, it's made us eat that meal every week rather than going, should we just not bother and then have loads of food waste? It's made us use what we've got. And actually, as a brand, I know there's a lot more, there's like Gusto and all those, but actually that thought mentality of scaling back but paying a little bit more, it's still it's the same as your jeans. Yeah. It's actually pay a little bit more for something that you're actually going to use.
Yeah.
So my brand possibly for the year is I wouldn't say it's a brand as such as HelloFresh, but it's the brand of scaling back but paying more for it.
Yeah, less is more, I think, if I'm honest. I have, like everything I've done, I'm currently recording on, I was a big fan of Chromebooks, but I've spent several hundred pounds on a new MacBook, which again, was close. Apple was close to being my brand of the year, because this MacBook with the new chip is
unreal, just,
like, ridiculously good.
Rocket fast.
Even on my ropey South Derbyshire internet, it's pretty good. Like,
they just need to add some more ports back into it again.
Yeah, a few more holes would be lovely.
Yeah, some more holes would be great.
But it was close. But I think that this computer will last me now 5-6 years, right?
Oh, if not longer.
Yeah.
And the good thing about the Apple ones as well is when they come to the end of their life, they're really easy to recycle, or there are lots of people who still want to purchase them, so they're really easy to sell again, which puts it back into that recycled system. Whereas I've had a Windows laptop, an actual Microsoft one, Surface, for about 16 months, and it's gone kaput, and it's now shot, and nobody will buy it from me. It has to have a new motherboard replaced in it. what's the point? It's now just going to end up in landfill, which I don't want it to do. So two more left. So we've got the most remarkable campaign you've seen this year.
It's a difficult one. I don't feel like I've consumed masses of campaigns, if I'm honest. I can't remember a specific one that has blown me away. I've been trying to rack my brain and scroll through my social feeds and go, I wonder what, you know, which one have stood out. So I think it's really difficult actually to name one, but I presume it's not a campaign technically. Right, a campaign as would be the Wikipedia definition. Right, of it. But I have seen some kind of really great digital ads and engagement and thing product promotional ads. From Pangaea actually, because Pangaea are a clothing label that. They're a material science company primarily. All their investment and money is material science. They happen to produce clothing out the back of it.
It's just a byproduct of it.
And to prove what they say is true. If they go, look, we can make a really sustainable weatherproof fabric out of flower down, people will go, sure, of course you can.
So their clothes then are like a proof of concept.
Proof of concept, right? And then they will sell that technology or give that technology away because they're about, obviously, planet and sustainability and stuff. But they make some incredible things. I did do a good workshop with a couple of fashion marketing people about, and we dissected and spoke about their brand, but their Instagram account is what I'm referring to, is where I consume their stuff because I'm interested how they... Because they are a cool millennial youth focused clothing line that aren't trying to be fancy cool clothing line, are a material science company, and I'm interested in that the way they join those messages up and present themselves and stuff. And I think they just do a marvelous job of proving what they say is true of a company. Because I'm a big advocate if people can do that. So not really a campaign, but...
No, that's good, though. Yeah. That's good. I've got two that came to mind straight away. The first one for... You really only need one tweet to make a difference. And that was Aldi with Free Cuthbert. The caterpillar cake debacle when M&S tried to sue them.
That did reach me, actually, though.
But it just proves the power of one thing of just Free Cuthbert, and that actually lived on through new Cuthbert caterpillar cakes being made that were in jail cells and things like that. And do you know what? It made M&S lose 153% in sentiment online because they were suing Aldi because of it. And that just proves the power of one small campaign. It wouldn't have even been a mapped out campaign. It would just been one person on Twitter responding. That's phenomenal. But the other one that I'm going to refer to is probably my favourite of the year, was a real heart back to old, but Guinness did such a good campaign for when the pubs opened, which was a really hard hit industry. But they did a campaign Welcome Back, Coming Home. And it was just... The semiotics behind it were unreal. So they had a black door with a white light above it, and they had a black bin with a white cat on top of it, and they had a half-painted garage door that was black with a little bit of white on top. They had two... old ladies sat on park benches like 3 meters apart with a shopping trolley in the middle that was black with a white top on it, And it was just, it was so good. So good. That, if you want to know how to do a campaign well, that is a campaign.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw him, I remember the Rugby World Cup one. Honestly, semiotics and brand codes just done, like, super simply, but amazingly creatively. They've not messed around a bit. Like, they have got to go down in their advertising hall of fame at some point. Old Guinness.
It was, what was really nice is it was almost Guinness returning to form. You know, because they've been, I'm not saying they've been beat up, because they haven't, but when you've got all these challenger brands around and you've got all of these disruptors and up-and-comings, like your BrewDogs, for example, who are in that market, Guinness just came back out with probably one of the best, it was just the best way to showcase, look, don't play with the big boys. It's fine. It was so good, so good. Okay, last category.
Last one.
So, your favourite or most remarkable person or people of the year, Tim?
It's a difficult one again. Like, obviously, our human interaction has been kind of limited, and I've consumed less as a whole. That includes stuff from people and knowledge and information. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of people from COP26 with an honourable mention. Like, Alok Sharma, the president of that COP, did a tremendous job in a real rubbish situation. Like, what a guy. Like, just handled himself marvellously, and I'm sure he slept for a long time afterwards. And Clover Hogan, a young kind of climate activist, gave a speech that floored everybody in there wearing a suit. Like, just amazing. She deserves a thing. And JP Castlin, who is a strategist, very big on LinkedIn and Twitter, but just for an he's got an email newsletter called Strategy in Praxis. And he did a series of emails over the past, I can't remember, eight, ten weeks, like, of all the big strategy theories, right, some Porter's Five Forces, like, everything, the Donald Rumsfeld's, like, a good strategy, bad strategy, like, all the biggies, like, business model canvas was in there, but he diagnosed and, like, evaluated and diagnosed all of the big strategy things to see which one, like, what true strategy in a free email, like, that you got into. Wow. It was like an MBA. But, like, honestly, you can get this stuff online, but what an, like, he does it, he was close to it. But I'm going to shout out a guy that not many people have heard of, if anybody, called Matt Bagwell, who is a runner and a breathwork coach and an advocate for men's mental health and campaign against living miserably. And this year he did a challenge that I had the privilege of running with him for a couple of sessions on, where he ran 21 ultra marathons in September this year for campaign against living miserably. He raised over 50 grand. He's just a normal human, like, guy, right? There's no, he doesn't have a platform, audience, famous stuff happening. But the dedication he did, and not only that, like, there was people who had run their first 10k with him, right, and he was there to coach and support them, as well as doing 21 himself, like, and just there for everybody else, as well as going through this thing. I just think he deserves a round of applause for the year, for the thing he's done, definitely. If I'm honest.
There's so, like, people like that are just unsung heroes, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they don't get the recognition that they deserve, because, you know, if what he did was picked up by mainstream media, it might have made, you know, 50 grand's a lot of money, don't get me wrong. But if that's picked up by mainstream media, which it should be, you know.
He got local press and stuff, and, you know, there's a life-saving call cost £8, so he saved a lot of calls.
That's phenomenal.
He's done, but not only that, he does breath work, and he does, all through lockdown, he did at least two or three classes of free breath work classes in the evening, like on Instagram Live, like out of his own time, free. Right, he's only just started charging for stuff. Like, I'm lucky to call him a friend. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
He's a good human being, and he gives much more than he asks for, which I think is a good trait of a human.
We all need people like that in our lives.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. What was who's your big finale?
Oh, do you know what? So my, like, of those people who are in the limelight, for me, Mark Cavendish this year, the cyclist.
Yeah.
If he doesn't win Sports Personality of the Year, something's broke.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to say.
The world is broken. Yeah, yeah. I agree.
To go from where he was to where he is this year with change of teams, to go and win four more stages at the Tour de France, to equal Eddy Merckx's record, you know, he just needs one more, and he's back with De Koenig again next year to might be able to go and do it. Don't get me wrong, we all know he's a difficult person to be around, and if you read his books you can tell that, and you can see a lot of interviews with him where you can see he's difficult, but that's because he just wants to be the best person that he can. He doesn't want to let anybody down. He feels so much pressure with so many people on his shoulder. You know, a team of seven other riders were working for him to win those stages, and he doesn't want to lose that for everyone. And for him to go and absolutely annihilate the Tour de France was superb, and I loved it.
Yeah.
It made me really excited.
Good. Well, really excited. You know, there's an underlying theme of today's podcast of performance was important, right? And focusing on what's like the whole mentality of less is more, doing one thing well, performance, doing stuff you're good at. Even Nike, like focusing on like making the best shoes for athletes,
everybody's
an athlete. Like everything has that, you know, that ability to focus and perform, and it's difficult in a world of choices where options are endless. Like, it's difficult to make the right decision and the right choices sometimes, but like there's stories everywhere that it's possible. I think
there's huge story. Do you know what? And it's nice that actually just through what we've just discussed there's a real mix in between, not just people who we know, but superstars, but they've all got that same common theme throughout. And I hadn't realised it until you said it at the end. So that's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Well, there you go, folks. That's what we thought was good this year. Well, we'd be interested to see what you thought. Like, if you had any differences, what stood out? Like, if anything we said has struck a chord that you've noticed similar themes or people doing good stuff that you want to shout out, it's always good to talk, you know.
Yeah, I'd love to be recommended some other stuff to go and watch or listen to or read, or people I should go and find.
Yeah.
So let us know
and have a good new year, whatever that looks like in your world.
Yeah, we'll see you in 2022.
Peace.